The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down! From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler. John Lee sitting in here with A.J. Hoffman on the Blitz. First hour in the book. Second hour to come. You can join the show, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. I don't have the text line open. Maybe I should pull that up. You can always tweet us. I'm at my name, John. A.J. is at A.J. is the real. You can tweet Tyler, who is producing, at producer T. Scott. The first hour, we talked a lot of NFL. We talked about the game tonight between the Chiefs and Chargers, and we finished off talking about Ninja in that 4 o'clock hour and how much he's actually going to be calling the game on Twitch. So if you guys want to check that out, it'll be on podcastarena.com /the Blitz in a few minutes. But leading off this second hour, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Rockets and the Lakers. I think the Lakers a little better than I would have imagined coming into the season, and the Rockets really, really a lot worse than I thought coming into the season. And the whole offseason was about LeBron James, where was he going to go? The Rockets, I think early last year might have been the favorites to land LeBron.
And who thought they were the favorites to land LeBron?
Oh, well, I mean, the Vegas odds, didn't they have Houston as favorites for a while?
I don't know that they were ever the
favorite.
I think
they did, and then it quickly went away. I think Cleveland became the favorite, and then I think the Lakers somehow jumped in there, and then they kind of trended upwards. The Rockets trended back down.
I never saw a scenario where LeBron James could end up here. I just never saw it. I know everybody's like, him and Chris Paul are buddies. Well,
I think that was the whole thing.
Everybody's buddies in the NBA today. Like, everybody's friends with everybody. You can't play with all your buddies.
Chris Paul tried to with Carmelo Anthony.
I guess so, but I mean, no, LeBron's worried about his legacy, not hanging out with his boys.
And he's
worried about his family.
His brand.
Yeah, his brand. But when you thought about the fact that he already owned a couple houses there, his son was already enrolled in school out there at like the best basketball prep school in the country. You could kind of put two and two together. Mm-hmm. It was Lakers or Clippers. And, you know, it doesn't take a genius to figure it out.
No.
It was Lakers.
Dave McMiniman, who writes for ESPN, asked him today if he could ever consider joining the Rockets during the offseason. Two words he told Dave McMiniman, quote, not much.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
Yeah, salt in the wounds of Rockets fans. And, I mean, the Rockets, such a disappointment. I'm so mad at myself for thinking that the Rockets would be just as, not just as good, but almost as good as what they were last year.
Like, did you think that the whole idea of running it back, like, did you expect to see the Warriors again in the Western Finals?
And I did.
Yeah. I mean, I can't sit here and say I told you they were going to be this, because even I didn't think they would be this much worse. Yeah. But I would have bet a lot of money that there was no chance they were going to be back. They were going to be as good as they were last year. That they were going to be able to push that Warriors team.
I mean, even the Warriors, I didn't think would be 19-10 at this point. I thought they haven't been playing the best ball.
No.
I mean, they've played a lot better recently. They're 7-3 in the last 10 games. But, I mean, who the hell would have thought that Denver would have been the number one seed this far along into the season? But, so, the Rockets right now, 12-14 now. They're 8 games ahead of the Phoenix Suns in the win column.
Well, the Suns are getting that first pick. Yeah. They've decided that they're getting it. They're doing what Philly did. They're running through the process. They got DeAndre Ayton. They'll come back with the number one pick again this year, and they're going to be, they'll be heard from in a couple years. Because if you talk about Zion Williamson and DeAndre Ayton and one more player, yeah, you'll see. They'll get there. But right, they're not worried about winning now, and it's a bold strategy to do that. The Rockets are trying to win every game. They, like, their front office wants to win every game, and they can't win.
And I think we just came off a stretch where the Rockets, it was a very light part of their schedule, and they kind of bleeped the bed. They dropped 2 games to the Mavericks. They dropped to the freaking Cavaliers. They lost by 9 to the Cavaliers. They're not running it back.
Yeah.
They're getting run up on.
Yeah, by the way, the Cavaliers in that conversation for number one pick.
Yeah.
They're fighting for that too.
And it's just been one thing after the other. Like, Chris Paul hasn't been able to stay healthy, which, shocker.
Yeah, that's every year.
The one season that he played a lot of games, it was a contract year. Pretty shocking. And James Harden.
That's always when your performance is best.
I have no contract.
Oh, okay.
But I said this about 2 weeks ago, and I'll say it again. I do think that they'll pick it up a little bit going down the stretch here in the next couple of weeks. I said this a couple of weeks ago. Their schedule doesn't seem too difficult at the moment. The Grizzlies, I mean, they're ahead of, I mean, I guess damn near almost every
team. Yeah,
every
team's better than the Rockets right now.
The Grizzlies, you get the Grizzlies after the Lakers, then you get Utah at home, then you get Washington at home, then you go to Miami, and then you have the Spurs back home before you kind of go up against the Thunder, Celtics, and Pelicans, which I guess that's not really that hard of a stretch. I mean, coming in, that doesn't seem like a big stretch, but these 12-14 Rockets, it's gonna be a dogfight, I think, in the next week or two to at least get back up to 500. So I expect them to lose tonight.
Okay, yeah, I kind of lean the same way. I have a hard time predicting what's going to happen in NBA games, but you know, especially with LeBron saying what he just did, it just makes me feel like LeBron's going to come in here and he's going to show out and show him why he picked where he wanted to go.
I kind of predict that the Lakers, the way that they've kind of picked it up in the last 10 games, last handful of games, that they're going to be vying for a top 3 seed by the end of the season, I think. And I kind of expect the Nuggets to kind of come back down to earth. It'll probably be like, what, Warriors, Thunders, Lakers, something in that mix by the end of the season. On the flip side, wouldn't you say Kawhi Leonard might be the MVP of the league between him and Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't argue against either one of those. I guess if I had to say right now, Kawhi's probably a safe bet. You know, when you think about the teams that are exceeding expectations, I think you have to look at LeBron James again.
Yep.
I think what Steph Curry's doing is maybe being a little bit overlooked, because he's on the Warriors and everyone just expects it. And I think Joel Embiid is a guy that should be looked at. You know, that guy's having a monstrous year. So I'd say top five in no particular order, LeBron, Steph, Giannis, Kawhi, and Embiid.
The Raptors, if they don't bleep the bed this year in the Eastern Conference, I think they'll be a very tough matchup for the Warriors going forward. Just because that team can play a little defense. It's pretty salty. And they just came off a kind of a 20-point win in Oracle.
Yeah, and they're the Raptors with Kyle Lowry's. Like, if you were going to make a longer list of MVP candidates, Kyle Lowry's probably on that list. So, I actually think the NBA this year is a little bit more interesting. And I know Rockets fans are disappointed because they're not involved in it, because it doesn't look like any of these teams are just unstoppable forces now. Call me come June when the Warriors they're all healthy and gelled and, you know, rolling on people because they've got the best players. But right now it seems like, you know, there's a lot of teams that have a shot at this thing. And there's a lot of teams that you could say, and the Rockets aren't the only team that's underperformed. Let's not pretend like they are. Mm-hmm. But underperformance is relative. I don't think anybody thought the Celtics would be sitting in the five seed at this point. It was basically Raptors or Celtics they were going to win the East. And now they've actually won seven in a row because they were at 10-10. So the Celtics have worked their way back into relevance, and maybe they're starting to figure it out a little bit. But there's a lot of these teams that look like, you know, maybe there's room for improvement. We talked yesterday about the Jazz, Timberwolves, and Pelicans, and how most people thought all those teams were going to be better than they were. Nobody saw the Dallas Mavericks being a playoff team this year. They could possibly be. The Kings might be a playoff team. So it's just a weird year for the NBA, but to me, it's making it more interesting.
We're going to go to our man, Rafael Esparza from MyBookie. He is Vegas sports gambling analyst. And Rafael, how you doing?
Pretty good. I was a little shocked that Anthony Davis not on that top five list of the MVPs.
The guy's not in the playoff conversation. I mean, great player, but man, if you're an MVP in the NBA, you better have your team in the playoffs in a league where everybody makes the playoffs.
Oh, I agree. That's why I think the Greek Freak should win. It's just A, he's in Milwaukee. B, they're playing really good basketball. I think keep an eye on for the Bucks on making. I'm hearing a lot of good trade rumors that they're going to be buyers for trade deadline to improve that team.
Well, let's talk about this game tonight. Jong and I talked about it. I'm leaning towards Chargers and leaning towards the under. Which way is the action pointing, and is that something I should stay away from, in your opinion?
The under's been hit pretty good just because they're supposed to get some type of rain or some kind of moisture going on throughout the game, especially in the second half. That's where I guess some cold front will be hitting. So the bettors are betting that it opened up at 56.5. We have 55, but it's 54.5 other places. So you figure the under is probably a good play. And I agree with you. I've been burned with the Chargers all season long. And I think Kansas City wins this game, but that half a hook, that 3.5, I think is going to be the big difference. I think KC wins by a field goal. So I'm with you. I like the Chargers plus the 3.5 in this one. But I think the under is a good play, especially with the weather going to be involved.
Is there a bowl game this weekend that's getting a particularly heavy amount of play?
Probably the one that's in my backyard, the Vegas Bowl, Arizona State and Fresno State. Arizona State is minus their top wide receiver, who's doing what's the in thing, not playing this one. He's probably going to be the number one wide receiver out of the NFL draft. He's going up. But Fresno State, big win against Boise in the snow. They've covered 7 out of 10. Really want to play this bowl game that the kids are saying through media that they can't wait to play Arizona State, can't wait to be the Pac-12 conference. So Fresno State opened up at 3. And now a -5, so a lot of action coming in on the Bulldogs against Arizona State.
Yeah, I love Fresno in that game. I love the under as well. I think that's a low-scoring game, and I think Fresno is just a better team. They are so salty on defense, and they're building a program out there. That is Rafael Esparza from MyBookie. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Take it easy, guys. Have a great weekend.
Are our friends. I got to tell you about our friends over there at MyBookie. And you just heard Raphael. If you're looking for a place to play, this is the spot. MyBookie's the spot. They've got it going on right now, guys. And you know, it's bowl season. Everybody's going to want to play. We just talked about that Fresno game. That's a game that I really like. The game tonight. And guys, the reason Vegas makes lines on games is so we can bet them. It's that simple. The best way to bet on them is MyBookie.ag. Remember, who you're betting with is as important as who you're betting on. And you don't want to have your money in a place where you don't know if you're going to be able to get it out. MyBookie.ag is safe, reliable. They've been in the business for years. When you win, they pay. Live in-game betting, the most rewarding player perks. And for you fantasy guys, you can bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player is going to score every game. Really cool. And that's the way sports betting's headed. It's the future. On your computer or mobile phone, go to MyBookie.ag. Get your account started right now, and they're going to give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. You deposit $300, they'll match you with $150. That's simple. Use promo code RADIO to activate the offer. It's mybookie.ag, mybookie.ag. Don't forget to use promo code RADIO when you create your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid at mybookie.ag.
Never go back to the AM dial.
Your home for sports is only on FM.
With ESPN 97.5.
And Sports Map 94.1.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler, John Lee sitting here in with A.J. We have Christopher Harris coming up at 5:30. So if you guys are still alive, I'm not. No, I got my ass kicked in my big money league. It's a keeper league. How it works is, you can only keep them for 2 years, and if you keep them, you basically have to give up the draft pick above what you picked them at. So I kept Davante Adams this is the second year. I drafted him, I think, in the fourth round several years ago, and then now I had to give up a second round this year, and I forgot I gave up my second round pick, and I took Julio Jones with my first pick.
So you didn't get a running back to round three?
Nope.
Ouch.
Nope. So, I think I finished I finished eighth place. Six teams make the playoffs.
That's your big money league?
Yeah.
Did you pay the entry fee?
Yeah, I'm the commissioner.
Oh, okay. So it's not like my fantasy baseball league where you still haven't paid your entry fee, even though the season's been over for months.
I'll get you.
Cash. All right. Yeah. right around the corner. You'll pay me out of your fantasy football winnings.
Yeah. My minus fantasy football rating. Money. You said you wanted to get to something.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw this story. This story's out of the UK. An art teacher has been fired, and you guys tell me if you think she should be fired for this.
She sleep with somebody?
She did not sleep with anybody. The class was doing, they were doing projects on the female form. So, this teacher who's so thoughtful and cares so much about her students that she wants them to do things the right way. She wants them to know what the human form looks like. She let a couple of her students take pictures of each other. An 18-year-old girl, she loaned her camera to an 18-year-old girl to take photos of her 17-year-old classmate. She locked the storeroom they were using to make sure they were not disturbed. She downloaded the photos and emailed them to one of the girls from her own account so the school's IT staff wouldn't see them. The pictures of the girl's torso only were included in the student's portfolio and seen by external examiners. They were also seen by some dudes because they got pinned to an A1 portfolio board. I don't know what that means, but it doesn't sound like a good deal. The teacher was immediately suspended, later sacked as head of the art department by the Lincoln Academy in Priory City. She said she thought the girl was 18, but admitted failing to maintain professional boundaries. A misconduct hearing likened it to sending child pornography and said she displayed a serious lapse of judgment, but ruled that no further action would be taken. She said, I have to abandon the gift I was given, teaching others. Is she in the wrong? She just let some kids use her camera to take pictures of each other's boobies and email them to each other for an art project. Is that firing? Is that akin to sending child pornography?
I mean, if they're under 18, I guess.
I mean, I think that depends on the age of consent, yeah, wherever you're at. I don't know what the age of consent is over there, but
so there were students who she allowed the students to take pictures of each other. Is that?
Yes.
So are these like school issued cameras?
Nope, it's her personal camera. This chick was like, you've got to draw a picture of a topless woman. And the girl said, okay, well, what should I use? And the girl said, well, here, you can use this camera. You can take a picture of your partner for this project. She locked the door to make sure no one disturbed them while they were doing a photo shoot. And then she emailed the pictures. What's your take? Should she be fired? Is this the right thing?
I think she should probably be fired.
Oh, you're such a hard ass, Tyler.
I mean,
you can't be letting kids get naked in school.
All right. I mean, it's for art purposes. I mean,
well, now that you put it that way,
kids get naked in school all the time in the locker rooms.
If it was college.
Well, in college, I mean, I don't think there's even a question that it's okay.
Fine. It's probably fine in college.
I think the bigger deal is because she was 17.
Well, she did say she thought the girl was 18. So,
we haven't heard that before.
Ever good whenever you say, oh, yeah, I thought the girl was 17.
You might want to, like, on the casting couch pornos, they always check ID. Like, they always say, she's like, oh, I'm 18. And he's like, oh, yeah? You got some ID? And then she shows her ID because you can't just trust these hoes ain't loyal. You can't trust a chick on her word. So she probably should have checked ID.
Well, and I think another telling sign was that she basically gave them her camera and locked the door to kind of, you would have to, if you did that, then you would think that, hey, somebody might find this and not think that is appropriate. Like, why don't you just tell them to use their own camera and go home and do it?
I mean, yeah. Is this the one school where kids don't have smartphones or something? I mean,
I thought the story was going to be like or the teacher was going to use the pictures for material.
Yeah.
So, like, no, as in, yeah, as material, personal use.
Well, I don't think she used it for personal use, but I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was going to take a turn.
No, she did not do that. Mm. At least from what we understand.
Mm.
But there may be more investigating to do. I'm going to say she shouldn't have been fired.
I think, you versus, I guess, more stricter, like, you know, principals and stuff.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
School districts.
They probably got stuff they got to worry about.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever heard of an anger room? This is this is kind of a sad story, but wildly ironic.
This is Patrick Creighton's anger room.
They have him in Houston.
Okay. So in the late 1990s, this woman came up with the idea for an anger room. Donna Alexander was her name. She had seen domestic violence and slashed tires and holes punched in walls in her neighborhood, and she had seen people go to jail for it. She moved to Dallas and graduated, and she came up with this anger room idea. It's basically a business where people who are angry can go and just rage out. Have you done it? Have you seen?
I know some people who have. There's one. It's up near Bush Airport.
What's it cost to do it?
I don't know. But, okay. I mean, they have TVs, plates. It's basically like a room just with plywood, nothing else. And there's lamps and glasses and stuff like that that you can just beat the crap out of.
Again, like I said, this isn't a funny story. It's actually quite sad. Should this be the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day, by the way? Do we have to do one of those?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, play the sounder, Tyler. This is the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day. The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok jeweler gem of the day. So that woman who created the anger room, she died.
Yeah, I'm seeing this.
She died because her boyfriend beat her to death. That is a cruel, cruel twist. Mitchell's now been charged with aggravated assault, but then she died in the hospital 3 days later, so now it's up to murder. 36 years old. And that was in Dallas. She spent much of her life advocating against domestic violence, and then she wanted to protect people from having that happen. She basically, the way she did it, she filled her garage with junk that was left out on the curb, and then it opened it up to a friend, to friends and coworkers who needed release. For $5 a pop, they could smash the items to pieces as they pleased. I think it's gotten a little more expensive now.
How much did you say?
$5 a pop. This was back in the day, though. This was like 2002.
So there's three plans. You can do a I need a break, which is a 5-minute session, which costs you $25. It involves you, one weapon of your choice, and one item to spend that personal time with, and that's why it's called I need a break for a quickie. There's called Lash Out, which is 15-minute session for $45. It's you, a room of items for you to have your way with, and your choice of the most popular weapons. And there's the, oh no, there's more. The total demolitions, $75 for a 25-minute session. There's a couples lash out for a 10-minute session for two people for $90. Anger room keepsake, and these go into like swag. So you have four plans you could choose from.
Who does the couples thing? Most dudes, when you've got that much stress built up, it's because of your partner.
I'd be worried that you go in there as a couple and then she gets
accidentally
triggered
hits
about
you
something
with the machete.
And she hits you. Yeah.
Yeah. That wouldn't be good.
I think this is kind of cool.
You got a girlfriend now, right, Tyler?
Yeah.
Would you guys ever go rage together?
I would probably go rage because of her.
Yeah, without her, right?
Yeah.
What about you, Jong? Would Teresa be into this?
Maybe. I mean, I think no. I think I upset her more than she upsets me. So
you're saying she's got a bad temper?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying like I'm pretty oblivious to things. So I make a lot of mistakes. So I think she might want to do one of these because I might frustrate her a little bit. Like, I think it's kind of cool.
You think it's a healthy outlet?
I think so.
Okay.
Kind of break things. Like, I could always live out my dream of the office space thing where they beat the printer.
I mean, you could just do that in your own house, right?
I don't want to break my own printer, though.
We have old printers here.
Yeah, just steal one from here.
And we throw it out the window.
Don't steal office supplies. You know what? I'm going to make this offer to you, Jong.
Are you going to bring me a printer to destroy?
Nope. But if you want to take home this blue chair and you want to light it on fire and beat it with an axe, I'm going to let you do that.
The Barry chair. Okay. You have yourself a deal.
Okay. Yeah. Enjoy that. That'll be fun.
And when we come back, we're going to have Christopher Harris. So if you have any questions other than this guy or this guy, you can tweet us at us. Tweet your questions at us at either.
But don't tweet us if you're in the consolation round.
Yes.
If you're in the consolation bracket, nobody's here to help you. That means you lost. Okay?
I have a bye.
In the consolation round?
Yeah.
That doesn't feel good.
No, it doesn't. It's the worst.
All right, guys. Christmas right around the corner this year. Go with a win-win. Something that's going to make her feel hot and could heat up your holiday as well. The super warm, world-famous hoodie footy from Pajamagram. America's PJ experts. Let's face it. It's hard to get her hot when she's freezing cold, and the hoodie footy is the ultimate solution. Combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footed pajamas, and that head-to-toe warmth means she'll be cozy in no time. You can find all the hoodie footy styles, mink chocolate, snow leopard, and many others at pajamagram.com. And if you're not into hoodie footy, they've got something for everybody. They got sexy stuff. They've got comfy stuff. They've got it all. Best of all, no need to gift wrap. Pajamagram includes free gift packaging, Christmas delivery guaranteed. They're backed by a 100% money-back guarantee, lifetime guarantee. You risk nothing. Go to pajamagram.com right now or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs. That's pajamagram.com. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
Check it. come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler, John Lee sitting in for Fred alongside A.J. And now we will go to Chris Harris. He runs HarrisFootball.com to talk fantasy. Chris, are you in your playoffs for your big money league?
I mean, do I play? I don't really play big money leagues, to be honest. My big money league is life, John. My big money league is life. But I, you know, people who listen to the podcast know a couple of the leagues that I'm in. One is La Liga Lebowski, and I am in semifinals of that one.
Oh, nice. So for people that are, I guess, relatively new and are in the playoffs for the first year, what's the biggest advice that you can give them starting this weekend? Or is it starting tonight?
I mean, to be honest, I sort of gave a little 5-minute pep talk at the beginning of yesterday's podcast where it was not about football at all. It was about Zen. It was about real. You know, I think the sign of a good fantasy player is someone who can get to the playoffs consistently. Maybe not every single year, but pretty consistently. In most of your leagues, you can get there. Once you get there, I mean, I advise Zen because I mean, I think AJ is going to get this one. Like, a single week of fantasy football is like a single hand of poker. There are just times where you can't win. There's nothing you can do. You did everything right. You played it right. And the idiot, you know, had runner eights and you're dead. And if you freak out over that and flip the table over and decide you're never going to play cards again, okay, that's one reaction. But my piece of advice is just to, like, root and have fun, but be zen about it because you can't control it, especially, I mean, you really can't control it over the course of 12 or 13 weeks. You sure can't control it over the course of one.
Yeah, I actually had the opening week of playoffs. I had the second highest score in the league and, of course, played the guy who had the highest score. So, I mean, it's a cruel, cruel game sometimes, my man. And that's we keep coming back, though. We're a bunch of suckers. Let's talk about tonight's game. The Chiefs, I don't know if you agree with this. I said this earlier. The Chiefs' offense isn't, to me, what it was a month ago. And I think maybe the Kareem Hunt thing was a bigger blow than anybody thought it would be. And now it's starting to look like the Chiefs they really have two weapons that they trust, and that's Kelce and Tyreek Hill. So if you could take away those two things, maybe the Chiefs' offense isn't, you know, this unstoppable force. What do you see with the rest of that offense? Is there anybody else worth even looking at there?
Well, we're also not going to get Spencer Ware tonight. And so, right, you know, maybe Damian Williams, maybe. Former Oklahoma kid, got kicked out of school, went to the Dolphins, was sort of hyped there for a little while, flamed out, wound up in Kansas City. If you're in the mode of I was using Kareem Hunt and now I'm using Spencer Ware and now I don't have anybody. I have Damian Williams as a top 25 running back, I think. If you go to HarrisFootball.com, you can see the ranks, but he's not special. I mean, Kareem Hunt's a good player. I don't know if Kareem Hunt's a great player. I think Kareem Hunt was made to look like a really great player by Mahomes being so much better than I thought, and most people thought, by Tyreek Hill just opening everything up and Kelce being a monster. And so I think any running back there could be okay, could for fantasy purposes, deliver enough, and also could flame out because, of course, Damian Williams isn't a super special player. To your larger point about the Chiefs' offense, you know, you're really kind of going back to the Rams game. That was the last Kareem Hunt game, and Kareem Hunt himself was good in that game, maybe not spectacular, but it's not too bad when your team scores 54 points. Usually most people are going to eat. That's why you guys bring me on, sage wisdom. When the NFL team scores 54 points, everybody eats.
Yeah, they're doing all right.
You know, since then, it's been like two games, isn't it? I think it was Baltimore last week, and they almost lost. It was Oakland before that. I don't know. I still think it's pretty good. I think Hill needs to be healthy for that. I think Hill is the most important player on that team. Mahomes is the most important player of the team. But the other guy who's really important is Tyreek Hill, because everything is just, you have to devote so many resources if that guy's running down the field. So I think he's going to play tonight, it sounds like. I haven't seen the inactives yet, but he has a foot injury. If he's not himself, I think maybe you're onto something, but otherwise I expect they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I think I disagree with you a little on you don't think Kareem, like when you said you don't think Kareem Hunt's a special player, because I think back to last year when before Patrick Mahomes, and Kareem Hunt was averaging 5 yards a carry. I mean, that's as a rookie. I think that guy's got some real talent. And not that Spencer Ware is a trash can. I think he's fine, too. But I think as you go from one down to the next one, down to the next one, it's kind of like the Redskins quarterbacks. You know, you go from – you think Alex Smith is fine, and then you go to Colt McCoy, and it's like, oh, man, that is a drop. And then you go to Mark Sanchez, and you just want to, you know, throw yourself out a window. So I do think Kareem Hunt is sort of – it is maybe a little more important than people thought, because I think most people thought, kind of like you were saying, that whoever's in that offense is gonna feast. But the offense was looked a lot different last year, and Kareem Hunt was still a pretty big factor.
But Tyreek Hill was there,
and
I just think you can't play your safeties up when Tyreek Hill is there. You have to account for him down 30 yards down the field in the way that you have to account for no other receiver in the league, not Antonio Brown, nobody else. And I think that makes – I think Tyreek Hill – I mean, Kareem Hunt has one quality that's exceptional, which is balance. He is an exceptionally balanced runner, and it's crazy. You can't knock him off balance. He's not all that fast. He doesn't have great moves, and there's a lot of space in that offense, even when – because Alex Smith had the year of his life last year throwing to Tyreek Hill way down the field, and that opened – you know, so I'm going to say, what's the causation and what's the correlation between Kareem Hunt having – great seasons with two separate quarterbacks, and maybe I would argue Tyreek Hill. Kareem Hunt's good, but maybe I would argue Hill.
What part of this this Chargers running back group, if any, are you interested in?
I don't even know if it's a group anymore, because it sounds like Melvin Gordon tried his ankle in pregame warmups on Twitter. That's where I was the last I checked before we started talking. Sounds like he's going to be inactive. I mean, don't hold me to it. We'll see here. Maybe you guys already know. And there's no Austin Eckler, we already know that. So it's Justin Jackson, the kid from Northwestern, who I would probably, if I was choosing between him and Damian Williams, I think it's probably close, but I think I would choose Justin Jackson. I think he's a little bit better player. But of course, maybe the Charger offense on the road isn't quite the wagon that the Chiefs offense is. It might be a choice that people are going to have to make between these two third-string running backs, which is pretty wild in the fantasy semifinals.
All right, I asked you about him last week. I want to bring him up again, because Josh Allen continues to put up just crazy numbers running the football. He can't throw. I mean, Lamar Jackson is basically the same thing. Are you willing to roll the dice with these guys? Especially, you know, Lamar Jackson's playing against – he's been lucky to play against – this week he'll be playing – his first five games will be against the five worst rush defenses in the NFL, which I think is just unbelievable. But it's perfect for him. Are you willing to run either one of those guys out there in a playoff situation?
Willing, I guess so. I don't believe I have either in my top 12 quarterbacks by the letter of the law for this week. But I have Allen ahead of Jackson, and he gets to face the Lions, so that doesn't strike me as a bad matchup either. Both, I agree with you, both seem pretty good. Here's the difference. So Lamar Jackson is running. He's running out of an offense that's designed to have options. And, you know, it has to sort of be the college offense, because he's just not a capable thrower at all right now. Like, Josh Allen's not good either, but if you ask me who's the better guy throwing the ball behind the line of scrimmage when he's not running, it's Allen. He's made some unbelievably great throws. Every third throw is like an amazing, awesome throw, and the other two are just garbage. But Lamar Jackson just doesn't have that. He hasn't made a – I think there's one third down conversion last week against the Chiefs that I thought was a great throw, and otherwise I charted him for nothing. So maybe I think I like Allen a little more because his scrambling, his rushing yards, I think the most rushing yards in back-to-back-to-back weeks ever in the history of the NFL for a quarterback, or else going back to like the 1940s, that's coming out of pocket passing. That's him scrambling. That's like the middle being open and him
not
going.
Not designed runs.
Yeah, and that feels a little more like organic to me, I guess, and comes when they're also trying to throw, so it feels like the ceiling's a little higher. But honestly, you are taking your life in your hands, because they can also both throw four interceptions, and I don't care who the defense is.
Right. Saints and Rams both, look like maybe their offenses are coming back down to earth? Are you still trusting all of those guys on those squads as much as you have all season long?
I'm trying to think about all the guys.
There's been several weeks where Kamara has been a top five running back. Do you look at him as that this week? Are you sold that Michael Thomas is still a top five receiver? I mean, obviously, it's hard to get away from playing those guys, but do you expect them to have the impact that they have had? And then for the Rams, their receivers, I mean, are any of those guys, in your opinion, a wide receiver one, and are all of them playable this week?
So the regulars are playable. I think, yeah, we're sort of counting the angels that are dancing on the head of a pin. We're playing these guys. They've gotten us here. The production's gotten a little lower. I don't think the offenses are ruined. And I think the Rams absolutely feast on the Eagles this week. I think that gets ugly and nasty if that's Nick Foles. I do have Thomas and Cooks inside my top 10 in standard scoring leagues for the week. So they're both wide receiver ones for me, and Robert Woods is like 14, so we're playing him. You know, when you get down to the third weapon, Josh Reynolds, that's, you don't want to play Josh Reynolds in your fantasy semifinal, but it could work out. If they all have a big game, it could certainly work out. And that running back, Kamara, might not be quite top five, but within top 10, so who cares? And that Todd Gurley guy, I think he's still pretty good. I mean, the Bears' defense was fantastic in that game, and don't take anything away. I don't know that I come away from that game saying the Rams offense has somehow been defeated and can't be good again. I do think I come out of it saying, ooh, I mean, certain kinds of pressure, that really rattled Jared Goff. I wonder which defenses are capable of doing that. Maybe the Eagles are. I haven't seen it. I saw Dak Prescott running around last week. I feel like that defense is from last year is gone, and I feel fairly confident about them.
With the Vikings getting rid of their offensive coordinator, and now reports coming out saying that they're willing to give Kirk Cousins a little more freedom, calling plays, do you expect any difference from, you know, their? I mean, they have Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook. Like, do you and Kyle Rudolph? Do you expect them to pick it up a little bit?
I wouldn't be using Kirk Cousins. And, I mean, I guess that's not a shock. Anybody who knows my work knows that's not a shock to hear that coming out of my mouth. I've made a career these last couple of years of being wrong on Kirk Cousins because I thought he wouldn't be a starting quarterback a few years ago, and now he's the highest paid player, or close to, you know. I wouldn't be using Cousins, and I think Diggs and Thielen can eat and be good enough and make enough plays and even have Cousins not be a top 12, 15, whatever quarterback. I've seen it, in fact, on a kind of regular basis. So Thielen and Diggs you're using, they got you here. That's probably outthinking myself to say, ooh, let's get Tyler Lockett in and I'll bench Adam Thielen. Like, I'm probably not the guy who's going to do that. I'm probably going to roll with the dude who's been awfully good and who I know has the skills to be awfully good, that it hasn't been fluky. And I've seen those same reports about, you know, who's calling plays, Matt, maybe now it's the quarterback. I feel like until I see some really dramatic difference, I don't want to overprocess every, as I like to say on the podcast, fart and whistle that comes out of a coach's mouth and change what I've been doing, change what's worked. So I probably am not deviating too much.
One of the guys that I'm kind of interested in this week, and maybe because it's a position where people just grasp for straws every week, tight end, but to me, this Ian Thomas kid looks pretty good. And maybe it's just he's walked into the perfect situation, but That works for me. What have you seen of him on film, and what are your thoughts on him?
This past game, I did. So I have a YouTube channel this year, and I did Ian Thomas, his film from the past game. And, you know, the production was really good, so it was easy to go, see, good, you know. But I think what I saw, that what people talked about, I mean, I'm going to not lie to you and say that I watched a lot of Indiana University football college film, breaking down the IU Hoosier tape. So I didn't really have a sense of the kid, and people had told me really good athlete. And I feel like I saw that beyond just the production, which production comes and goes and targets come and go. I feel like on film, I saw, you know, very, very good elusiveness after the catch and sharper route running than you typically see from a rookie tight end. And I sort of share your optimism. I think I rated him 12th among tight ends this week, so I guess I didn't go crazy. But I think, yeah, if you had Greg Olsen and you were sort of scuffling along, trying to find someone else, and, you know, there's not a lot of guys available, I don't think it's a terrible idea. There's clearly a lot of floor. There's a lot of floor. But, yeah, I think the upside makes it worth taking a chance on a really good athlete.
Yeah, someone who's gone from Delanie Walker to O.J. Howard to Jordan Reed to I don't even know who else I've used this year, but it's been a nightmare. This is the guy I feel like I'm finally going to tie my boat to. So, all right, that is Chris Harris, harrisfootball.com. Appreciate you, brother, and we will talk to you next week for the semifinals.
I think this is the semifinals.
Oh, yeah, I guess we'll talk to you for championship week next week.
That's right.
I will not.
You're the typhoid Mary of tight ends. You pick them and they die.
That's
but,
right.
Yeah, man. We'll,
that's right.
We'll talk next week.
All right, man. All right. I got to tell you guys about my computer career. Here's a graduate who used to work at a Quickie Mart. Couldn't get out of that job quick enough. Such a great student that they hired him as a mentor. Because their program is designed for people with no IT experience, they support their students with one-on-one mentoring. If you're not getting up every day excited to go to work, go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in months, not years. Don't have computer experience or training? No problem. Helping people start an IT career is what they do. You attend classes on campus or live online just two or three times a week. You'll get everything you need to start your new career. And it's more than a school. They help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid's available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon. Go take that free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. MyComputerCareer.edu.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5. And SportsMap 94.1. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
No Fred Power, Jung Lee sitting in with AJ Hoffman. We're going to have to do a quick segment here for...
What?
Because we've got Brad Powers coming up next.
I refuse.
We blab too much. We'd like to thank Christopher Harris for joining us.
Chris Harris.
That's my bad.
Yeah, you and Fred.
Yeah, Chris Harris for joining us to talk college or to talk fantasy football. If you want to check out his ratings, you can visit harrisfootball.com to check things out. And it's bowl season, and we have a lot of questions for Brad Powers, including I took North Texas over my Utah State. I don't even know what they are.
Yeah, I'm when you turned that pick in, I was like, oh, that was that's a good pick. I like that pick. I was leaning the same way. You know what Utah State is.
I do know what Utah State is.
Okay.
And North Texas hasn't been in a bowl game, I think, since I forget. It's been a while since North Texas.
Oh, I didn't realize it'd been that long.
Yeah, and Utah State, I think, lost their head coach.
Yep.
And so... I'm like, the motivation's not there for Utah State, so I think I took North Texas plus 8. So hopefully they come through, because these standings, everybody's within like 2 games of each other, other than you, Jerry, and Josh.
Yeah.
Everybody else is like 2-3 games within one another. So I need a 2-0 week this week.
Yeah, that's the other weird thing. You know, you mentioned Matt Wells leaving, and he's going to Texas Tech, but apparently he won't be on the sidelines for their bowl game.
I thought that's what I read, but I'll have to check it again,
because they had talked about him. He had said that he wanted to be on the sidelines because he's a Utah State grad, I guess, and now he's no longer welcome on the sidelines for the Utah State game.
Yeah, because Frank Malley, he's going to be the interim coach for the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't wonder if he's the one who didn't want him out there.
He's the co-defensive coordinator for, I guess, Utah State Aggies. That's what they
are.
Yeah. I've actually been riding Utah State a lot this year because I think they're like the second or third best team this season against the spread behind Washington State.
They've been really good.
Yeah, they've been really good. So I'm fading them this time.
All right. I got to tell you guys about Man Centers, the Y Factor presented by Man Centers. If you've got low testosterone, it may show up in a lot of different ways. Could be sluggish at work, sluggish at the gym, sluggish in the bedroom, and Man Centers can fix it. And we're not talking about the injections, those synthetic injections. The other guys, that's what they're going to push you towards, and that way you got to go in every week and get a new shot, and you're going to have the inevitable crash. That's not what Man Centers is doing. They're focusing on your body's natural ability to produce its own testosterone again. Synthetic injections can damage fertility, cause dependency, long-term health issues, and even shrinkage. Let Man Centers do it the right way. They've got three locations: Houston at Katy Freeway and Campbell in the Memorial area, off 249 in Tomball, and now open in Webster. That's the Y Factor presented by Man Centers. They're now booking appointments on Saturdays, so no more excuses. You can get in there on Saturdays and fill those up. Give them a call today to set up your appointment, 832-358-8600, or go to mancenters.com to book online. The Y Factor presented by Man Centers, helping men lead better, more fulfilling lives.
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.